Genesis 41. When you find your place, say amen. 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 Genesis 41. And I'll ask you to look down nearly to the end of the chapter and look at verse 50 with me. Genesis 41, and we'll look at verse 50 together. The Bible says, "And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, when Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, He hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." And this verse, verse 52, will be our text this morning. And I pray that we can hold the truth of this verse in our hearts. "And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." Let us pray together as we begin to break this bread of life. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for how good you are to us. We thank you for this word. We pray, God, that you would just help us. I pray, Lord, that you would just direct us. I pray that you would give us what we need this morning, what we need to receive. Lord, we know that we are in great need of you. We need a touch of you each and every time we gather together in this house, but God, each and every day. And God, I just pray that you would just give us what we need. I pray that you would bless us, and I pray, Lord, that you would fill us with your spirit as we share this bread of life. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you on the thought this morning of naming your Ephraim. Naming your Ephraim. And the central thought of this text this morning is the idea of obedience. The idea of obedience. Now, I've heard it, and you've heard it in the world whether it be in church or your job or wherever it is, whatever you're doing, we know that integrity is doing the right thing always. We know integrity is doing the right thing when no one else is looking, right? That's integrity. But also, thinking of obedience, that's essentially what obedience is. It's being obedient to the Word of God, regardless of the situation, regardless of the fallout. Being obedient to what He tells us to do in His Word. And also being obedient when no one is looking. Man, we none of us would like anyone to peek into our private lives, would we? Because we all know how wicked a creature we are. I don't want people to hear some of the thoughts that come into my head, some of the things that I think, or some of the things I want to say, or some of the things that's in my heart, because I'm a wicked creature. Amen? You can agree that your pastor's a wicked creature. That's free reign to say amen, right? We're wicked creatures. And I remember a girl I grew up with. Her dad, he came to know Jesus a little later in life, and the preacher had preached the thought of, and I've shared it before, but he said, if we took a projector screen up here on the stage and we showed your life, we showed what's in your heart, the sin that you have committed and the things that are wrong about you, if we showed those things on a projector screen, how embarrassed would you be? Talking about crawling under the floor of the church, amen? I don't like to think that people would see how wicked I am, but you know what? I realize we're all wicked creatures, right? And so my mind was turned this week, the thought of obedience. And my mind came, as I was studying through Genesis, my mind came to Joseph. And I'd say we all know the story of Joseph, but just in real quick terms. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, right? Why? Joseph interpreted dreams. They called him the dreamer. His father loved him and valued him and gave him a coat of many colors. He showed and bestowed his love and his favor upon Joseph, and that made his brothers jealous. And because of their jealousy, what'd they do? They sold him into slavery. And they dipped that coat of many colors into the blood of an animal, and they told his daddy that he died. And his dad went into grief. I mean, he said he'd grieve until he died. So Joseph was sold into slavery. Well, what happens to Joseph next? Well, Joseph goes and he's sold in slavery and he ends up in the house of a man named Potiphar. And he's in Potiphar's house and God exalts him and God lifts him up and God builds him up and God uses him. And in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife proved to be an immoral woman. And she liked Joseph or was attracted to Joseph, and she tried to lay with Joseph. And we read in the Bible that he resisted the temptation to lay with Potiphar's wife. And he ran away, and what'd she do? She grabbed his garment. I had this thought, hey, you may be running away naked, but you're better off running away naked than hanging around to find out what happens. Amen? Amen. That's all right. Get away from it. So what happens? Potiphar's wife makes a scene and he ends up in prison. What happens in prison? Well, God lifts him up and God exalts him in prison because God chose to use Joseph. God wants to use Joseph. And God lifts him up and God exalts him there in prison. And the jailer hands the reins over to him in prison. We'll get to those things in just a minute, but guess what? He ends up where? In the council of Pharaoh. And God exalts him. And he faces his brothers again. And God uses that situation to touch his family, bless his family. But what's the constant theme? Although things turn out good, things turn out well in the life of Joseph, the constant theme in the life of Joseph is that he had some hard times to go through. He had some difficult situations to go through. I'm going to tell you what, being sold into slavery probably would have been enough for me. What I want to talk to you about this morning is obedience. See, Joseph's obedience, he was obedient when he was sold into slavery. And God exalted him for that obedience. He was obedient in Potiphar's house with Potiphar's wife. And God exalted him when he ended up in prison. And then he's in prison, and God exalts him there, and he was obedient there, and he ends up, and the Bible tells us that he was second only to Pharaoh. A Jew in the Egyptian's land was exalted all the way up to the point where Pharaoh gave him a ring, and Pharaoh clothed him, and Pharaoh said, "The only one above you in this land is me." He went to the top. That's like you being taken to the White House and saying, the President of the United States saying, "You're only in this land, you're second only to me." That's being exalted. But the common theme of Joseph being exalted is his obedience. And Joseph's here and they're having these children. And this strikes my heart, and Manasseh strikes my heart, but Ephraim strikes my heart because I've been going through some storms. So I want to talk to you this morning about naming your Ephraim. Your obedience does not mean that God is going to bless your socks off with all the stuff you want. Amen? We should not desire to be obedient for God's blessings. We should desire to be obedient because we love God. Our motivation should not be, well, I'm going to get this. If I do, now, I walk through life knowing God will bless me. Because if I'm obedient, I know God will bless me. But I've learned that God will give me what I need, not exactly what I want. That's a hard lesson to learn. But Joseph here, he said, hey, they named this baby, and they named Manasseh. And Manasseh has an important meaning. He says, "For God said, he hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." They named Manasseh, and he's saying, this is Manasseh, and he is signifying in this life that God has all that I've went through, God's allowed me to forget that because he's so good to me. But when he names Ephraim, that means a lot. He says, "For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." He's saying Ephraim is in this life signifying God's goodness and God's blessings in such a difficult time and difficult circumstances. So I want to tell you this morning is you may be coming up to the point where it's time you're going to name an Ephraim. You've got something that's going to be delivered in your life, and you're going to have to say, Lord, thank you for blessing me. Thank you for bringing me through the hardships of this life. Lord, whatever this is, if this be this child that I can dedicate to you, Lord, if it's this money that I can dedicate you, Lord, if it's this time that I can dedicate to you, whatever it may be, you may be on the corner of naming your Ephraim, but it means you're going to have to be obedient. See, Joseph come to the point where he could say, God has blessed me in the land of my affliction. But it was his obedience that allowed him to get there. Without his obedience, he would have died in slavery. Without his obedience, he would have fallen to the temptations of Potiphar's wife. Without his obedience, he would have rotted there in the prison. What good are we to God rotting in a prison? What good are we to God dying in slavery? What good are we to God falling into this temptation and ruining our testimony? Obedience, obedience, obedience. Being who we know we need to be no matter what. It's a lot easier said than done, ain't it? But when you're done and you get through that storm, you're going to be able to name an Ephraim. You're going to be able to say, God has blessed me through this turmoil. God has blessed me through this hardship. God has blessed me through this difficulty. All right, so he's sold into slavery. He's sold into slavery, but he was obedient to God. Well, how do you know that? Well, I know that because God continued to bless him. God continued to use him, and that shows me that he was doing right, that he was following and seeking the Lord. He didn't just hang it up and say, well, I'm a slave now. I'm just going to fall over and die. You see, sometimes at the first sign of difficulty in our Christian lives, we want to just fall over. We can't do that. We can't do that. We need to be resilient. We need to say, Lord, I'm going to be obedient to you. And God, I know I left my father's house where I was exalted, and I'm here in slavery, but God, I'm going to settle that I'm going to serve you here in slavery. You say, that don't sound like any kind of life. We ain't living for this world anyway. And slavery upon this earth may mean that God uses us to reach somebody. God started molding the man that is Joseph while he was a slave. Guess what? He goes to Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's wife propositions him for him to lay with her. Now, I think the devil always takes on an attractive form. I'd say Potiphar's wife was probably a beautiful woman. Devil ain't going to throw something at you that you don't want. And for all the times we think the devil's ugly, the devil ain't ugly according to this world's standards. The devil presents himself. Listen, young people. Thank you, Garrett. Garrett's tuned in here. The devil will present things to you that are as attractive as you've ever seen. What he puts in front of you, he ain't going to put, was it Jeremy, you'd say, if I'm going to eat a steak on a plate or a trash can lid, I'd rather have it on a plate, right, than a trash can lid. The devil, he'll put a steak on a plate in front of you. And Potiphar's wife, I'd say she was a beautiful woman. I'd say that she was a tricky woman. She said things that, I mean, poisonous lips, I guarantee you. But what does Joseph say to Potiphar's wife? He says, how could I disobey my God? How could I do something so wrong against my God? How could I be so disobedient to my God? That's obedience right there, folks. Been sold into slavery. He comes into Potiphar's house, and he's exalted in Potiphar's house. And then his beautiful wife comes and propositions him. How could I disobey my God that's been so good to me? That's a testimony of obedience right there. That, I mean, you could be down in the gutter for being in slavery. You could kill over and die for being in slavery. And then you get lifted up. It'd be easy to get prideful, to get exalted up into Potiphar's house. People paying you attention. You're not from around there. People are attracted to Joseph just by nature. The men are attracted to his knowledge and what he has to say. And people are attracted to the way that he speaks. The women are attracted to Joseph in how maybe he looks, or how maybe he carries himself, or how he acts. That's a dangerous situation. But what did Joseph do? Joseph chose obedience. How could I disobey my God? And he runs from it. Like I said, he might have been naked as a jaybird, but he was going the right direction. And that's the key. Come what may, being obedient pays off. Well, you're like, it didn't pay off for him. He ended up in prison. Well, guess what? God uses him in prison. He he interprets dreams in prison. He's exalted to the point there in prison that he was the jailer gave him the lead over prison. You see, obedience means that God will use you wherever you go. If we're not obedient to God, we shouldn't expect him to use us. But ups and downs and highs and low, obedience equates God's perseverance in my life. My obedience means God will have his hand of protection on me. Now, I may not be where I want to be, and I may not be as comfortable as I was yesterday, but praise the Lord, God's taken me somewhere where I will be comfortable, that I will be blessed, that I will be taken care of. And that may mean heaven for some of us. We may not be second in command to Pharaoh on this earth, but I am heading somewhere where my obedience is going to pay off, where my faith will turn into sight. So obedience, vitally, vitally important thing. I want to give you a few thoughts concerning obedience this morning. I don't have a ton. We'll see. Lord may just keep shoveling it over to me while I'm going. One man, he said, William Gurnall, a Puritan preacher, he said, when obedience falters, faith weakens. How can there be great faith where there is little faithfulness? In other words, our faithfulness to God, our obedience to God, or our faithfulness to God and our strength in God comes from our obedience. To be able to triumphantly say, God, you're good amidst the storm. God, you're good amidst the hardship. There's going to have to be some obedience in somebody's life. You may battle this, and I battle this. I feel like maybe we can just throw a blanket statement out there. I'll probably say it again. I'm preaching to me, always. And if I ever don't, somebody tell me, because I'll just have to get my head straight and go on. But I'm preaching to me this morning, because obedience, we've been going through some storms in our family. It's been hard to be obedient. When things start going wrong, it's hard to pick that Bible up. You say, well, that's a source of our strength. Yes, but we as Christians, even as Christians, because of flesh, we get so caught up in the flesh, we get so caught up in our worry, that we stop leaning on the Lord sometimes to lean on me. Sometimes things happen and things start going wrong and I can't get in my prayer closet because my mind is spinning the web of disobedience. I am disobedient sitting around worrying about stuff when I should just turn it over to the Lord. Now that's easier said than done, ain't it? How many times have we laid in bed and said, God, I'm laying this at your feet and I'm victoriously going to sleep. 5 minutes later, it's back again. It's hard. It's not easy. It's not easy. And I've learned that sometimes there's just not going to be victories in my mind. But, Lord, I'm going to try anyway. Lord, I know my obedience means I'm going to get in this word anyway. I might read this chapter 20 times, but I'm going to try to be obedient anyway. Lord, I feel like these prayers are not getting higher than the ceiling, but I'm going to pray anyway. Lord, this is happening to me, but when I walk out that door and I see somebody in the community, I'm going to be a light and salt to those people anyway. You see, we turn into sour Christians, and we're not in our word. We're not in our prayer closet. And then we treat people in the community like junk. Then we treat our family like junk. Then we treat people in the church like junk. Before long, nobody likes us because we're disobedient. I don't want to be that person. I've been that person. I don't want to be that person. I want to be obedient. I want people to see me and say, man, Josh has been through some storms, but man, he's looked to the Lord. I don't want people to see me. Well, this happened, and man, he turned into a jerk. You ever seen that? Ain't nothing worse than a sour Christian. I mean, just ain't no good. Wasn't long ago we bought some raw milk for Isla to drink. I'm a milk drinker. And I believe in whole milk the way God intended. That's the way God made milk, amen? You give me this 2%, give me this skim milk junk, give me the way God made it. You get it cold enough right off the cow, I'd drink it. My grandfather talked about, man, he'd say on a cold morning I'd milk that cow. Said I'd get me a little dipper, knock the cream off and get me some hot milk. Oh, it'd be a blessing. I'm not that dedicated. But you know, raw milk, it does different things than store-bought milk does. We go in there, I go in there one night in the dark about midnight, and that's what I like. When I go to bed, I'm going to have me a glass of milk. That just gets my stomach in the right place to sleep. And I go in there, and I pour my cup, start drinking, and it was thick. I'm going to tell you what, it didn't take long to realize something was wrong. Now, it wasn't as bad as store-bought milk when it gets like that, but it was bad. And it doesn't take long. When you get sour on your tongue, it don't take long to know it, right? You can mention sour candy in your mouth will water, won't it? There's just something about that that's just, your body knows. A sour Christian? Somebody that's disobedient? Somebody that's not doing what they need to be doing? People see it. Your preacher sees it. Your Sunday school teacher sees it. The people across the pew see it. The church mouse sees it. Cashier at Roscoe sees it. Everybody knows there's something sour in a sour Christian. Everybody knows what sour is, don't you? Shelby gets it on to me all the time. Stuff. Sour and pyre. I told her last night, I said, pyre in the blood is literally written in the red book, pyre. P-O-W-R. That's what I'm talking about. But you will know immediately. And where does it come from? Disobedience. If I am not who I need to be, you're going to know when I stand in this pulpit that something ain't right. There's times you may have seen it. You will see it again before the Lord comes back, I guarantee you. We're human beings. But I find that when I'm that way, it usually goes back to disobedience. Now, Joseph, he lived a life and his character amazing. He wasn't perfect, but his character, what we're told in the Word of God's clear about good and bad. And the Word of God won't tell you all of somebody's good and none of their bad. Joseph was found to be one of the highest men of character in all the Word of God. But his obedience was the key to his character. His obedience was the key to God's blessings on him. If you're being disobedient to God, don't be surprised when he's not blessing you as far as when he's not giving you, when you're not having joy, if you're not having peace, if you're not having hope, don't be surprised that he doesn't do that for you if you're being disobedient. If we're not serving God, we should not expect God to give us peace in the storms. If we're not obedient to God, we shouldn't expect him to pick up and fix all of our problems every time we turn around. Now, like I said, I'm not preaching that God's going to give you a new Ferrari for being obedient. I don't even want a Ferrari anyway, but I'm not, whatever it is you want, I'm not telling you God's going to give that to you for being obedient. But what I'm telling you is God will persevere. God will protect you. God will bless you wherever you're at. God will lift your spirits, but it takes obedience. I read a story, and it is said of a saintly man in medieval times that in a season of temptation, the great adversary, the devil, suggested to him that he was a reprobate going to hell and persuaded him to take his fill of all the pleasures of this life because he was excluded from the future joy with God in heaven. No, replied the good man, not so, Satan. If I must not enjoy God after this life, let me enjoy him as much as I can in this life. In other words, he wasn't willing to sin on this earth. He said, he tells the devil, if I can't enjoy God in heaven, I'm going to enjoy him here on this earth. Now, I believe this man's in heaven. That type of spirit and that attitude, God's not going to deny that type of obedience. That's somebody that knows Jesus. But the reality is he loved God so much, it was worth it to him to live on this earth and serve God and die and go to hell. It should mean that much to us. Why? Not because of what God can do for me. Not because how God can bless me. Not because what God can give me. But because I have such a deep love for the Lord that I want to please him. That I want to serve him. That I want to be obedient to his word. That I want to exemplify his word. And realizing, come what may, on this earth, I'm going to live for him. Hey, that's somebody that's going to live with him on the other side. That's the type of attitude I want to have. That's the type of spirit I want to have. I want to be obedient, and I want to naturally be obedient. And it's difficult. You see, I heard a preacher say the other day, in this life, this Christian life, we're striving that obedience replaces our natural desire. And that's tough. Why? Because natural desire takes care of old number one right here. My natural desire is to take care of me, to take care of my family, to take care of what matters for me. But my desire is first and foremost that what I do glorifies God. That should be my desire. A few thoughts on obedience being. Obedience should come from a loving servant's heart. We can tick all the boxes off. Well, I did this the right way, or I was right to this person, or I was nice to this person, or I handled this the right way. We can tick all the boxes off and be wrong and need repentance and need restoration with God because we do it just to tick off a box. Now, if you're not careful, some people make you think, well, you can't ever do enough. That's not the case. We'll never be perfect on this earth, but we can please God. God's not unfair. He knows we deal with flesh. He knows what we face. He's so loving and he's so merciful that he's pleased with a sinner such as I. Now, he's not pleased every second of every day because, my goodness, I have to battle this flesh each and every moment. But I know that there's times where I please God. And what a blessing it is to please God. Anybody got a 3-year-old? Got one back there. Anybody got a 13-year-old? I've not got a 13-year-old, but I got a 3-year-old. And man, he has got a mind of his own. And he's got a mouth of his own now, and that's a whole nother thing. Everybody's like, just wait. But I see my son, he'll do something. And we'll end up in the old school. Amen? Amen? I believe in it. You don't do it, you're disobeying the Word of God. That's controversial preaching. It's good preaching. Me and my son, he'll mouth off and we'll have a moment. But there are times he comes to me and he'll say, Daddy, I made you something. Daddy, I want to give you something. Daddy, I want to look what I did for you. And it blesses my heart. And I can't even be mad at that little boy. I'm going to discipline him. But I can't even be mad at the little boy anymore. And isn't that how God is with us? We offend him. Alden, we just talked a little while ago, didn't we? Our human nature offends God because of sin. We just by nature offend God. But he loves us so much, we come to him with purity and worship through his son Jesus Christ, and he can be pleased with unworthy people. Man, he loves us so much. That's why I want to be obedient, church. That's the loving servant's heart that we should strive for. Obedience is worship to God, and I believe it is one of the purest forms of worship to God. We often think of worship as what the preacher preaches and the preacher's worship. And I'm saying amen. Or the singer sings and it's a blessing and people are saying amen. And that is worship. If it's pure in heart, it's worship. But I believe one of the purest forms of worship to God is obedience. And guess what? Nobody else will ever see it. Nobody else will ever know about it. That's between you and God. But that is, I believe, the purest form of worship. Because I'm choosing to be obedient to him and his word no matter what. I don't care who sees it. I don't care who knows. It's between me and God. It's not religion. It's between me and God. And lastly, thinking about Joseph, his storms and his ups and downs. You may not be found in the best of places, but be found faithful. You may not be found in the best of places, but be found faithful. I'm telling you what. I came to Mountain View, and I've told you this. My church situation, my ministry, it's never been better, Keith. Love it. I thank the Lord every day for being here at Mountain View Baptist Church. But everything else, man, it's just, it's been going through it. But that struck my heart. The Lord gave me that the other day. Just be faith, be found faithful. Yeah, I'm not in the best place in this area. I'm not the best place in that area. This isn't the best situation. This is not the best thing. But be found faithful. That's what he wants from me, is my obedience. Brother Sam told me the other day, you do what you can, God will do what you can't. You do what you can, and God will do what you can't. Or can't, if you're on the sour train.